Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles and an assassin spectre in Enkidu's control.
Creepy!
I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined by these wounded warriors. So say hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Mostly my pride is hurt.
A stairwell fell on my head.
A villager punched me in the leg.
Teleporters and invisibility, people.
Yeah, whilst the boys figure out how they're going to get out of that tower, let's cue the theme tune.
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and D20.
Let's play D&D.
Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative. Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No guts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll.
Inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success will rest upon the dice. No risk too great, no choice too bold.
This is No Small Roles.
So, arriving in Forlos Vale, you attended a rally to hear Timon Prevost speak. During his speech, an attempted assassination was thwarted as Kasula dragged him out of the way and took the hit herself. Gwendolyn rushed forward to her stepmother's aid, with Kasula pointing the archer out from across the rooftops. Gaius teleported to the target, with Enkidu and Orin taking flight in the same direction. Juna then rushed forward to heal Kasula, and as the Prevost entourage hurried Kasula away, a teleporting mischief maker led Gwendolyn and Juna through the streets. Dodging attacks and a shattering of the ceiling, the archer in the tower leapt from his tower vantage point, swinging to a floor below. Enkidu and Orin followed in hot pursuit, though a second shatter damaged the stairwell. With Gaius descending from above, the stairwell came down on those below, briefly allowing Enkidu the chance to strike true and slay the archer. A healing word from Gaius revived Orin, who then stepped forward to heal their assassin, only for Enkidu to plunge his hand into their chest and pull out their spirit from the body, just as it was teleported away by a glowing ring. That's where we pick it up. So, Gwendolyn and Juna are rushing back toward the courtyard. Gaius, Enkidu, and Orin are just alive, the three of you, surrounded in a crumbling tower, in a blocked stairwell, a missing body, but the spirit of a spectre having risen in front of you. What do you do?
Right, that was something. There's no trace of the body left. It's all gone.
Yeah, the body is gone. Teleported away.
Right. You, for the time being, as he addresses the spectre, you belong to me. You'll answer my questions, obey my command. Who are you? Who do you work for? Who did you work for?
Now, I've had a quick check of the Spectre stat block. And under where it says languages, it says, understands the languages it knew in life, but it cannot speak.
Write down your name, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So all it does is it holds up a middle finger and stands there in a pissed off pose.
We need a Ouija board.
But it obeys my commands.
It does. It just can't talk.
It's fine. Well, isn't it great that I got a fucking pen and paper from the pub this morning?
Oh, yeah, you did.
Clever little shit. Right. Who did you work for? Who are you?
And in this spectral form, which is kind of like shifting and ghostly as it sort of... it's, you could like half see through it, but it like begrudgingly feel like the, you can see that it's being forced forward at your word. Takes the pen and paper from your hand, the baking sheet and like a bit of charcoal. Sort of, again, pissed off expression from the eyes. And just writes down the word havoc.
Havoc?
Mm-hmm. Enkidu, I'm just thinking about how to prove this to people. We need to get this person thing, I don't know, down to the our friends. You said it's in your control, right? Are you able to make it, like, move the rubble and stuff?
I don't think even we could, as corporeal beings, move the rubble. This is going to be pretty difficult.
Yeah.
But how did you get here? You teleported here, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a little trick I've been working on, and... I was hoping to practice it in the more safe and, like, less crazy situation. Like, you know, just practicing by the fireplace. But, you know, this worked as well.
You got enough juice to take Orin back?
Yeah, good question.
Are you still flying, Kidu? Are you, like, hovering off the ground?
I can still fly.
Actually, did you make a concentration check?
Oh, shit. Ooh, that's probably gone.
I can't remember what
Yeah, I've been attacked so many times.
Damage was.
Yeah.
But roll a d20 and we'll just say... like, it's 10. If you roll higher than 10, then you've still got it going.
Warcaster advantage.
Yeah.
Looks like we need that advantage.
Is it just straight roll? Is it?
Just a straight roll. Like, yeah, if it's higher than a 10, then you've still got it.
13.
13. Then, yeah, I'll say through all the fight, then, yeah, you've kept it going.
Okay.
Just. But you've got it. You've got it.
Took a lot of damage. So you've got enough juice to take Orin back, and I can fly back with this thing in tow.
Orin is coming round about now from his faint again. Like, what?
Yeah, in the meantime, Guy's been like holding him in while fanning him, waiting for him to wake up.
Thanks, cousin.
Okay, Orin, how many fingers am I holding up right now?
2.
Okay, for our listeners, I was holding up 3. So that's concerning. That's very concerning. I can't do that. It's like once a day sort of thing. Like,
damn it.
You know, I have one, your level 4 spell slot. Could you like fly us down maybe?
I'm out of juice. I can't.
Hang on. Can I still fly as well?
You got knocked out. Do you still keep it?
Can you go
I don't know.
Can you like carry us though, Enkidu? You carried me one time.
I can carry one of yours.
I don't know if me being knocked out affects fly if it's you're the ones concentrating on it. Question? I don't know the answer.
No, I'll say because Enkidu is still concentrating on it, the spell isn't still in effect, so Orin can still fly.
Oh, wicked. That solves it. I'm going to have to just watch over Orin as he flies so he doesn't like drop out of the sky or something. I'll carry Gaius and I'm sure this thing could float along with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, hang on. I might maybe patch myself up.
How near are Juna and Gwen to the tower?
I'll say by the time that this kind of thing, the boys start flying back, they can see Juna flying through the sky over the rooftops, coming back towards them.
Cool. But I haven't reached the tower. I can solve this if I've reached the tower.
Yeah, no, you haven't reached it. You can see it, but like as you approach, you see them all slowly fly out. Well, you see Enkidu carrying Gaius, which, how do you want to do that? Is it just underarm? Is it a piggyback situation? He says with fingers crossed.
I think underarm.
Nice.
Yeah, and also so I can like keep my eye on the spectre. I mean, it's bound to me, but I'm still like, I've never done it before, so I'm quite wary of it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Juna, you see, yeah, Enkidu flying out, holding Gaius securely as they're sort of flying slowly. Orin
kind of wobbling in the air, not looking
yeah.
the healthiest. And then behind the three of them, this spectral sort of cloaked figure just like floating on, like smoky tendrils, like drifting off of them wherever they go.
Gwen, do you see what I see?
Are the... What?
I'm not sure. I think they've had a very different battle to us.
I think so. Who's your new friend, lads?
Yeah.
Can I just... Where are you having this conversation as you're all kind of approaching each other?
At the bottom of the tower? I don't know. Where did you
land? Can we find somewhere quiet?
Just, you know, the sight of a spectre and three people flying through the air. Four people flying through the air is getting a lot of attention from everybody that is already panicked.
Do you want to go and stay with Kasula and Time and Prevost? Because I could just send them a little message and they said we could go and meet them. Or would you rather stay away from them?
Uh-huh. It'd be good if one of us has eyes on them, because I would like to find out where this guy is.
I would like to see Kasula.
Yeah, and I feel like... Oh, hey there. I feel like we need to make this like a bit more official and not just like, oh, the word of like five good-looking adventurers, you know what I mean? Like, like, we're still pretty high here. Can we do something soon?
So shall I message them and see where they are?
Did Kahilda just say Kasula in front of us lads as well?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay. Excuse me, Kasula is here?
Yes, that's who I went to protect.
I didn't see that. Sorry, I'd left.
She got hit with the arrows as soon as that was the attack.
That was Kasula?
That's Kasula, yes.
Are you sure you don't want to be there instead of here?
She nearly died. I think this is more important.
Okay, well, this is the guy who shot her.
Yeah.
The spirit of him. He obeys my commands. He's not happy about it. We can only write. He can't speak. So he's bound to me until I close my eyes at night. So I do not want to drag him around the city. So if you've got opportunity and time to ask him any questions, now's the time.
Even kind of hidden down a side alleyway, there are people who are walking past, like, catching a glimpse.
Should we just go inside somewhere at least?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I was feeling Juna was like doing the message whilst we were having that little chat.
Yeah. In that time, I've sent a message to see if it connects saying, where are you? We'd like to come and check you're all right.
Mm-hmm. And the response you get is, Juna. Yes. Bloombridge. We're in Bloombridge.
Anywhere in particular in Bloombridge?
Well, I mean, this wouldn't be a two-way conversation unless you're casting it twice.
Each time I...
Well, no, I'll just say a full phrase. Juna, we're in Bloombridge. Find us at De Romanet House.
De Romanet House, yes.
Oh, it's well far away.
Miles away, yeah.
It's on the other side of the city.
That would have had to be ascending.
We've got to escort a ghost across the city.
Oh, was that ascending rather than a message?
Sorry.
I said a message.
Was that ascending?
It can be...
Sorry, yeah. So a message, you have to be within 30 feet and I think have to see them.
120 feet for message.
Do you have to be able to see them? Or...
I don't think so.
No.
You just need to know the general direction.
No, you don't have to be able to see them. But if they're not within 120 feet, then it won't send.
No, they're not within 120.
Then I have sent ascending.
Cool.
And I have enough just to do two sendings, so we could have had that conversation.
Nice.
But I've now spent those spell slots.
Nice. While that's happening, I'm also going to just do a little Cure Wounds Bees on myself, because Oren is not looking good.
It's not looking hot.
So Juna relays.
From the, as part of this sending as well, you get an image of what the house looks like.
Really?
So even if you don't necessarily know exactly where it is, you'd know it to see it now.
Juna says, follow me. And whilst they're walking, she messages to each of them where they're going, but she doesn't say it out loud.
Okay.
Gwendolyn grabs her spare, like, cloak that she'd been wearing, like a bit more scruffy one, the one from Myra and Ferrocene's, and throws it over the spectre. Does it stay on?
Just. I like the idea that every like 20 feet you have to readjust it because it's kind of like sunken
amazing.
Into the body a little
yeah,
bit.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh. Hey, guys, I was just looking at the map. Sorry, has Junior shared this with the group yet?
Yes. Yeah, through messages.
Okay. I was looking at the map. If we want to get this thing for questioning over to Bloombridge, we've got to travel through like the center of the city. We're like past the Lord's Assembly where Beryon's people all are. Or... we could like, because we're like right by the lake. So what we could do is somehow like, you know, we could get maybe a boat, go around the city and go up that river to Plume Bridge. And then at least, like, you know, only like 10 people are going to see this specter compared to, like, you know, hundreds of people.
Yeah. Because
if this is a spell, it could be counterspelled. It could be anything. Like, and this is valuable information.
Yeah.
That Enkidu has
managed
to grab
hold of. Unless you want to hole away and question this specter before we head to Plume Bridge.
I would rather question it rather than drag it through the city. Like, that seems like there's so many people here, it seems impossible that no one's going to stop us or interfere at some point.
So do you think we should do Guy's thing and get on the boat or just hide away somewhere? So
we could question while we're on the boat, buddy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to drag this thing through the city?
Yeah, no,
he's
not
saying, around the city.
Sorry.
But on still, a boat.
I'm just thinking, like, you know.
Surely having this thing is going to be useful for Casula, maybe, and
rather than just us presenting secondhand information.
Yeah.
What? Where's the body?
It disappeared.
It disappeared. Oh, I didn't know that. I was out cold.
I think it had like a ring of like something or other, like a dimension door thing.
Ring on the body's finger just teleported the body away just as I managed to get a hold of this guy's spirit.
So whoever sent him did not want us to get hold of
the secrets of the body, of course.
Okay.
So far, this thing's already said Havoc when I asked him who he worked for. Just Havoc. Wrote the word Havoc down on a piece of paper.
Does Havoc mean anything to us, Baby D?
Chaos?
But it's not like...
disruption?
Like
I don't know, yeah.
It's not like a company or a school of magic or anything like that.
No, exactly. It doesn't necessarily ping anything at all.
Cool.
Okay.
Well, I think let's go and get on a boat, get away from everyone else. We're travelling round and I feel like that is what everyone needs right now, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Orin, if you need some more healing, I can heal you up on our way.
Thanks. Yeah, oh, I might get the bees out again.
We go to the docks and we find
the
docks.
Boat. Yeah. All
right. Find a boat at the docks. Can somebody make an investigation check then, please?
Does anyone particularly want to?
Abracalad.
I think Orin's a bit out of it, so I don't think I probably am in the best state of mind to do it.
Do you want me to? I feel like June is leading everyone at the moment.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh dear, bad.
With advantage.
With advantage because we're all
with advantage because you're all together. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, much better. 16.
16, yeah. So, you do manage to find not necessarily like a hugely... The area that you find yourself in is much more work boats. So it's like fishing boats, some cargo coming in, lots of cargo going out. But as you kind of move along the shoreline, you do find a section that has has hireable rowboats to go out rowing for the day, basically. Costs you a gold piece to hire a boat for the whole day. It's a row, like, it's not that big a boat, but it's just enough to fit the six of you.
Are we gonna need a bigger boat?
Hey. I'll pay a gold.
Yeah. With the proviso that you need to bring it back, obviously. And your name is taken and where you are staying in the city is written down as well.
We are staying at the Hilton and my name is Frederick van Dusseldorf.
Can you just make a deception check for that?
He's like, oh yeah, the Hilton, yeah, cool.
Oh yeah, I mean, it must
be a little
place,
pub
yeah.
That we passed.
Okay,
must be up in Swellbank, yeah.
All in all, it's a 17.
17, yeah, that's enough.
Yes, we got a boat, guys. We got our own boat.
Yeah, we got a boat.
They ride it down, but yeah, they're expecting it back basically by sunset.
Suckers.
It's probably not gonna happen.
No.
No.
Orin pays the gold.
Seeing as it's already been leg day for Gwen, she now needs to balance it out with the arms.
Yeah.
So she'll be rowing.
Nice. So to row it right the way around the entire thing that you're wanting to is going to take quite some time.
Is it going to take, one would say, a short rest amount
yeah.
of time?
Definitely, definitely.
Can I
it's
have
probably
going
to take 2 to 3 hours.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, of right. Because you're trying to move around and also move through and past other working ships and boats along the shore.
Time to interrogate, time to rest.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. We'll take turns, so, you know, Kyle also gets...
I'll do a good start on it. Like, I'll let you guys all get to full health because she took 1 point of damage from an angry villager.
Cool, and I will...
Oh, no, city slicker. City Slicker.
City Slicker.
And I'll start singing a sea shanty softly to give everyone a song of rest. So that's an extra D6.
Cool.
There once was a ship that went to sea.
Excellent. Do we roll the D6 or do you, Chris?
I think I might need to. Bear with me. In the meantime, carry on.
Does anyone else need any extra healing apart from Song of Rest? Because if anyone else looks a bit ropey, I can...
And you can also roll hit dice on a short rest.
Yeah. I'm rolling hit dice.
It doesn't say, so...
I think it's just 1d6.
Fine. 6. Everyone gets 6 extra points back on a
Amazing.
D6.
Mm-hmm.
It's only hit points on a short rest, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is no good
Unless
for
you're
me.
A warlock
Unless
or a
you're
monk.
A warlock.
Yeah.
So I can roll it to 7
hit dice if you need to.
For me, D8. Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah. So I might as well roll them all because we're gonna go to bed later.
And you get a 6 as well.
And get a 6.
And an extra 6 on top of that. Love
for you. Anyone who's following along at home, I rolled 4 hit dice and a song of rest. No, 5 hit dice and a song of rest.
I rolled 4 hit dice.
4 hit dice.
So I recovered 28 hit points. That is pretty juicy. I am very bursty boy. I'm full health. And I got my spell slots back. So
admin. Everyone loves admin.
Where's the hit dice on our online tool?
So when you hit on the popular online dungeon based tool,
D&D Beyond, please sponsor us.
if you hit short rest, Chris, and then it should pop up with a little side menu.
Yeah,
and it should say there for you bard hit die 1d whatever plus something.
Yep. Oh, this service is so convenient and useful. They should definitely sponsor us.
But for the moment, they should be called RPG Further.
So you're rowing along. This ghostly specter sat amongst you all, looking very uncomfortable, a bit pissed off. Occasionally, it kind of does this weird shiver. That it doesn't seem to enjoy, but...
Oh, is hell colder than you thought it was? Don't worry, you'll be going there in full soon.
So how do we question this thing? It's not very chatty.
No, it can't speak. It can only write down what it says.
Oh.
But it can't fight against us or doing us any harm.
Can we ask it questions?
Of course, that's why it's here.
Can you ask it, who's your giggly friend and where have they gone?
I ask that to the spectre and hand it the piece of paper and a pencil.
Mm-hmm. And it writes down the name Nelith Waxmere.
And what's your name? He said, knowing full well what his name was.
So you've also asked it where it's...
Oh, sorry.
Where they've gone. What does it write down? Just writes down the word hideout.
Where is your hideout?
And just writes down in the city.
Oh.
Where in the city?
It writes down somewhere.
Which district?
Be specific.
With Enkidu kind of enforcing some of your will onto it.
Yeah, yeah.
It begrudgingly writes down Red Walk.
Oh.
Red Walk.
Gwendolyn is trying to be intimidating as well, because she's getting hot and sweaty doing her rowing and stuff. So she's just trying to back Enkidu up with intimidation.
I intimidate the ghost.
Yeah.
Guys, give me your questions and I'll ask, because it can willfully disobey your voice, but it can only obey me.
Who or what is Havoc?
I pose that question.
David, have we broken the game? Can we just ask for all the answers?
I think I have, I think we've broken the game.
No, it just writes down, it writes down an ideal.
Shit.
Do they have anything to... Obviously, they have something to do with the Beryon guy.
It's worth asking, guy. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Might be hiding behind Beryon. Could be somebody else entirely in the mix we don't know about.
Okay. Yeah, to that effect, Enkidu, is there a question is Beryon your leader?
What is the connection between your ideal and Beryon?
Ooh, good shot.
Trying to be specific so it doesn't fuck us around.
Damn, he is good at this interrogation stuff.
It writes down, he can help cause havoc.
That's about Beryon, isn't it?
I've got to give this Beryon more credit.
So,
how is Prevos in the way?
And then it writes down the exact same sentence. He can help cause havoc.
Was money exchanged for your help?
Kind of gives you a side eye.
I'm asking, I'm not asking you, dumbass. I'm asking my friend here.
You got side eyed by a ghost.
I mean, aren't you hearing the question and just repeating it each time?
Yeah.
Guys, ask me a question.
This is one of those Galaxy Quest moments where Enkidu's like, I've got one job on this ship.
Oh my gosh.
There's not enough Galaxy Quest references in life. Yeah.
I know, I love that film. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
It's one of the most underrated movies ever, ever made. You can cut that out, but I needed to
no,
say
No, keep it.
It
in. And listeners, if you haven't seen Galaxy Quest, go and watch it. Brilliant
Galaxy
film.
Galaxy Quest, I'm going to check that out.
But yeah, it just, it writes down no to your question, Gaius. Like were you paid? Was money exchanged? Mm. It writes down no.
So I don't know, like, do we want to find out, like, they're saying that he can help cause havoc, Berry and Anne Prevost. So are they nothing to do with either of them and just causing havoc? And I don't, like, I don't get it.
Ideal. I mean, Enkidu, can you ask him if it's anything to do with religion or something? Ideals, religions, don't they go together?
Are they like a sect that has been like persuaded to help Berrien's cause? So it's maybe not necessarily that they are, you know, a shadow formation, but more that just they're like the hired help or the persuaded help because they're very good at what they do.
Is Berrien wanting to cause havoc?
Just writes down, I don't know.
There we are. They're not.
They just want to use.
So for their Berrien own ends.
For their aims.
Mm.
Yeah. So this is a completely separate thing.
That's what I think.
So it's not Berrien's attack. It's not Berrien attacking Prevost. This is a separate group.
Yeah, but didn't somebody, like just before the fact, shout,
say,
for Berrien?
Yeah.
To cause havoc.
One of our group has discussed using the two against each other. So why not someone else? No, we don't know. But meta between us, like it's sort of clearly things that people are thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
Does the ideal of havoc envision a king on the throne?
Oh, great question.
Ooh. I mean, surely not, though. If we're thinking about...
It's nice to know.
Depends on which king.
Yeah. Then we can be specific if it's a yes.
It writes down no.
Okay, no king.
Mm.
Tywin has a lot of enemies then.
What is this havoc? Is it? Is it in a religion? Is it a god or?
Who gives the orders?
There's a small, like, shiver again. And for a brief moment, the spectre kind of flickers out.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And almost vanishes, but, like, maintains where it is. And then it writes down rings.
Rings?
Like the ring that you were wearing. Oh, rings! Oh, no!
The slips! The slips had rings on, right? Received by rings in Red Lorraine.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yes. The creepy sweaty guy was covered in rings. Yeah. Was covered in rings.
Thing.
Yeah.
Who got the stone.
What?
Rings. That's his name.
When we were...
Rings is his name.
In the...
his street name.
Or it's the group.
Hex.
Yeah.
Hideout in
Medrivane
with no Medrivane.
Medrivane.
Yeah, we were in Medrivane with Alfie
and the guy who was getting the weird stone that we found from. It was the guy that was getting the stone that was covered in rings.
It was the
right?
guy that was getting the stone. Yeah,
that purchased it basically.
The guy that was getting the stone was covered in rings.
What was his name?
We don't know what
don't
his name
know.
Was, but the
we heard
the slit.
It. He said goodbye
you did hear,
to him.
You
didn't?
Did hear it.
Oh, we did. Yes,
Mania said goodbye to him.
No.
Fuck.
Let me just go back and listen to that
but
episode.
The slip also says, lots 1066 to D.R. Lykin, due to be received by rings in Red Lorraine. That was on one of the slips that guy
so that
got
happened.
As well.
So that transaction happened.
Yes.
That transaction happened. So what's his name?
Shit.
I really enjoy when like everybody gets like that. It's like the panic. We know something. Panic. Excited panic.
Oh, Pellegrini.
Well done.
Okay.
I am nailing the notes tonight.
Yes, Vicky.
Take that, Ben Galpin.
Yeah. Well done.
I don't have my notebook.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, it's in London. I forgot it.
Thank you for giving me the chance to shine tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome. I deliberately didn't bring it.
It's not a competition, guys, but if it were, Vicky would be winning.
Vicky won.
I'm going to ask Dane, Pellegrini, is that rings?
And it writes down, yes.
Oh!
Oh! Dun, dun,
we've
dun,
got
dun,
another player.
And he gave you all rings, and you are bound by these rings. As a question, sorry.
Mm. It writes down, not bound, but yes.
My God.
Is the one ring that rules them all.
The ring race.
Brandish the Elden Ring.
Which is a good point. I realised, because obviously I let the name slip last episode, yeah. But Orin did ask the name. We'll just say that the name has been written down as well, and their name is Dane Valior.
Dane Valior.
Thank you.
That was funny. That's like, God damn it! Stop reading my own notes. There's another shiver from the spectre, and again, for a slightly longer period, they kind of blink out.
Fuck me.
From where you are, and when they come back, they kind of look a bit in pain.
Does the organization have a name other than Havoc? Or
okay.
What do they identify themselves as to Beryon or to each other?
No, they don't. They don't. They don't identify with Beryon. He said
to each other. What do they call their organization?
He said. He just said Havoc. Sorry, I'm not ignoring your question. I'm trying to turn it into a pointed question. Are the Hex helping fulfill the ideals of causing havoc?
Writes down sometimes.
Juna's going to message to Guy. Do we want to ask him if he knows your sister? It's your call, Guy?
Yeah.
Yes, let me ask the seal. Wait. retcon. Yeah, Juna, I think that's a good idea. He'll say aloud, can you ask him if he knows Treya or Brutus or Cassius?
There is a slight head tilt as soon as you say each of those names.
Ooh, I ask then. I won't rephrase the question.
It slowly writes down yes.
Are they in the city now? And which ones are, if so?
Guy's head snaps towards the spectre.
Shrugs and goes, I'm not in contact with the Hex.
So they're definitely part of the Hex.
Yep.
Which would be kind of new, but...
Yep, then
it's confirmed.
Nice to be confirmed.
Yeah.
Canon.
Hashtag canon.
Guy, Juna's gonna like give your hand a hold if you want something to hold on to.
Thank you.
Do we want to try and pin down where they are in?
Yes.
Red Walk.
Where's the Hex operate from in Fornas Vale?
Well, where did these Havoc people?
Yeah.
Operate from.
Yeah. So in Red Walk. What building in Red Walk are you, Havoc, operating out of?
He just writes, a big one.
Motherfucker. Sorry.
Street name and number.
Give me the lot number.
What's the postcode?
The lot number.
I don't know. Lot number? I was going from the sheet,
yeah,
which
like,
I
yeah,
assume
yeah,
was
yeah,
lots.
That was
in
all,
the,
like,
yeah,
that was
it.
Stuff. It was rather than,
yeah.
It wasn't buildings.
We didn't ever find out who D.R. Lycan was, right? Is that a name we want to bring up?
That's an anagram anyway. We'd have
yeah,
to.
It might not have
been.
Ask that
yeah.
question, yeah.
We've got to, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What that means, I think.
Mm.
I'd ask it if D.R. Lycan means anything to it. But
yeah.
All right. Where precisely is the building in Red Walk?
And it writes down quite a long, detailed answer. That is almost entirely avoiding the fact of writing down where it is. So it's like, beside the sidewalk, opposite the trees, beneath the clouds. It's like, it's super specific, but is not telling you the street name. It's not telling you like anything like that, but it is incredibly specific.
Enkidu, maybe it might be helpful just to remind him that clearly he's in a state of pain, this in-between between our world and the next.
Yeah.
And we can help him with that if he's more forthcoming. And not just an annoying.
It flickers again, almost to demonstrate what Guy's is saying. Like it flickers out.
Oh gosh!
For even longer this time.
With the last bit of
before coming back
hold in. I have on him, I was like, to make your passing as easy as possible, shorten your answer so you can go in peace.
Street name and number.
Street name, house number.
And it writes down sallow, 16.
Be at peace.
What if you let it go and it goes back into its body, is resurrected and tells everybody?
Then we better move quick.
She rows faster.
Sorry, DM.
No, this is good. Do you release them at that point?
I do.
Or are you still
them.
Holding on?
I do release them. This is awful. I feel awful.
Nice.
Doing it.
As you're sort of doing that, it kind of flickers out slightly, and it almost fights your control of it for just a moment to grab the pen and write down, "I'll see you when I wake up."
Oh no!
And then fully like flickers out again.
You know what? That guy is so annoying, but so badass. I gotta respect the game. I gotta respect the game.
Really good archer.
Yeah. Oh, I'm aware. I'm very aware.
Well, next time, I'll cut off his bloody head.
Yep, me too.
We'll cut his head off. Don't worry. But we need to get to Prevost now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can move against these people.
Where are we, DM, by this point?
We're
on the boat?
We're going as fast as we can.
Yeah. Can I grab an oar and start rowing to help? Now I'm feeling a bit better. Like,
obviously, whilst you guys have been having the conversation, the rowing hasn't been the priority, but like you've rested up, you've had this conversation, you're probably like sort of round by the end of the other river, which is called the River Plume.
Oh.
That's why it's the Plume Bridge that you're headed to.
Oh.
And as you sort of like, sort of all of this has taken a good couple of hours, as you've rounded the sort of the point of the city and are coming back the other side, you can see further up the river the main bridge that you know leads from the map leads into Plume Bridge. Is there any other conversation you want to have in the boat before you sort of pull yourself in and climb back onto to land?
Yeah, June is going to check in with Gwen and say, how are you doing, Gwen?
Oh, we'll see.
That's your teacher?
Yeah, and my stepmom. Yeah. I kind of think, well, I've saved her life, so she can't send me back to the DeBarges now, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and maybe if I apologise, it seems like there are bigger things at stake right now. She might forgive me.
I think there might be nothing to forgive, Gwen.
June
sort of says it with a bit of a like.
I think we know different sides of Casula.
We do, Gwen. That we do. To be fair,
was she a big fan of the marriage that was meant to be happening?
Well, I kind of let her down by not doing my exams that would have sent me to the House of Decorum, right. And so my way of making it up to her was this advantageous wedding. And so she was pretty behind it. I have caused a lot of embarrassment for the family by what I did. So,
you know, look at you adventuring out, not by yourself, but with all of us.
Yes.
You don't have to do what she says.
No, but she is important to me, and it's important to me that she can see that I can be useful. I can be useful. I can be part of a group, and I want her to see that. I want her to be proud of me. But she's very hard to please.
Like you say, you saved her life today.
Yes.
You've come so far since, I mean, how long is it since we like all met in that tavern? Like
6 days ago.
No, it's probably pushing 3 months at this point.
Mm. You've changed so much in these 3 months, Gwen. And if she tries to take you back, we won't let her, will we?
No.
No?
Not in your life.
Cool.
You're very much your own person.
Yeah.
Kahelda.
Yes. I hope she can see that. I hope she can see that I'm making something of myself.
Mm.
Oh, look, the house!
Before we get to...
They're drifting away.
Before we get to shore. Okay, everyone. I need to share something with you before we go to see Kasula and Prevos.
Is it that you can punch ghosts out of people?
Well, I'm going to propose a couple of things to Prevos. I'm going to propose an alliance with myself and him by presenting myself as the son of the king. Now, it's a half-truth and kind of maybe supposition on my part. I've got enough in my past to kind of give that weight, give it credit. And also, we have valuable information on the attack of his life. So maybe he'll be grateful for the information. And also, the second proposition is... he's purposely not looking at Orin because he knows how he feels about this, is that we get rid of Beryon, but in a way that the blame doesn't fall on him so we can keep his hands clean. Now, I'm not going to force anyone to join me in a deed so dark and bloody. We've been through enough of that, but you heard what Prevost said in the square, that he means to march to Mervite and place himself on the throne. Now, Beryon would never let that happen. And with all that he's involved with, he can easily stop that. He has the manpower, he has the connections. He'd die before he got there. Plus, whatever's waiting for him in the Crown City, with Erida involved, he's not going to rule for long. She will use his blood for whatever she's got. So until he gets in a position where he can reasonably march there, the way has to be cleared. And how I get myself and Gilgamesh to that place instead of him is a problem for later, but for now he has too many enemies. So I want to make that proposition. What do you guys think?
When you say get rid of, you mean kill him?
Yes.
Is that the only option?
Maybe not for you.
Could we not try and get him arrested instead?
We can try that.
Find out information on him. We already know that he's using very underhand tactics to try and get followers. There must be more dirt on him.
And how likely is a prominent member of the Lord's Assembly, one of the lords who runs this country, what are the chances that he'll be prosecuted? Aren't the consortium involved in this as well?
No.
We could die just by having that information out and people knowing that it comes from us.
Are the consortium involved, though, with him?
Potentially.
I mean, well, they could be involved. Any parts of the consortium could be involved, but then plenty of the parts of the consortium could be against him. I'm sure he has enemies all over the place.
Yeah.
And then, Kiru, another thing is, and I'm not saying I'm against this idea, but also, like, being realistic here, like, what's the plan, man? Like, we're, like, just a group of five people here with extraordinary capabilities, but, like, how do we get to that guy? How would you get to a guy who's, like you say, like, gonna be one of, the, like, the most prominent lords in the land, got X amount of, like, money and flow and power and all that jazz? Like, does he just leave his window open at night? I don't know.
Hey, infiltration is always an option.
With our track record, that's a problematic statement.
Yeah.
With my track record and a bit of dedicated time and research, there's nothing that's impossible. But we can present our findings to Tymon and see what he says before anything's final. I'm open to having my mind changed, but something has to be done about Beryon. Sooner the better.
I do agree with that. Something does need to be done about Beryon. You're right, Enkidu.
Maybe Tymon would have an idea. Like, you know, if you were to say, you know, you're interested in thwarting Beryon, then like maybe Tymon would have, you know, a strategy involved, like some sort of thing. So maybe like speak to him about thwarting him as opposed to like immediately just going, hey, this guy, give me a week. I'll serve his head on a platter. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I hope that is the case. But either way, at some point, he's got to go.
And Kiduk, can I ask, what's your aim? Is your aim to get your buddy, your brother on the throne then? Still?
It is.
So what is your intention then with Tymon?
I certainly don't want to wish harm upon him. And what kingdom would Gilgamesh be ruling over if he had to get rid of someone who has the hearts and minds of the people on his side? Like, he wouldn't want that. But at the same time, the throne is not safe. It's not a checkmate, sit in the throne, you win situation. There's more darkness, more secrets, more danger. So the more we journey on this path that we're taking, the more we'll know. And maybe we can protect Prevost from what awaits him in the capital.
But if say you did assassinate Beren, what's to say that wouldn't be discovered and then jeopardize Gilgamesh's claim to the throne later on because of foul play? Murder.
Regicide.
Before that has to happen, the truth has to come to light of what he's done.
And might that not then be enough? If the truth comes to light about what he's done, is that not enough?
Tarnish his reputation. Get him locked up.
Get him to lose whatever respect he has amongst people.
It'd be difficult. I mean,
so is murder.
Again, cross the bridge when we get to it. And I'm not saying this is easy.
It's a pretty big bridge with pretty steep sides.
That, again, Orin, this has always been the path I've been on.
Let's see what Tymon has to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can go from there, Billy.
I have another question for you. When you say you will present yourself as the claim to the throne, are you presenting yourself as Gilgamesh?
Yes.
But you guys do you and Tymon look, you don't look alike, buddy. Like, how?
Well, maybe not as Gilgamesh, but okay. There are at least three children that Harish has had, illegitimate children. They're all elves. The three of them are elves. And then that's a strange coincidence, but circumstances, just putting together pieces of my life, things that Eridus said I had royal blood. Now, blood is physical, right? Blood is in our bodies. So if she meant Gilgamesh, wouldn't you say I have royal power or spirit or something? Because Gilgamesh is not physical inside my body. Also, I don't know if I've told you guys this. When I was young, I was adopted by a sex worker. I grew up in a brothel. Young woman, Sarah, raised me. Wasn't really a mothering type, but, you know, she fed me, kept me busy, gave me work. I grew up in the house of pleasure, until one day, Dravanian soldiers came, led by Alcibiades, burnt the place to the ground. Never found why. Just one of many brothels in Dram, burnt to the ground by the royal captain of the palace guard. Like, why were they so far out? Why there?
I recall you telling us that story before. Was that before you became friends with Gilgamesh?
Yes.
Oh. Maybe it was for you. Maybe they knew.
Maybe.
That you have your own claim?
Separate to Gilgamesh?
Maybe. I personally am not interested in that. I don't want to... And not with what I am now. No way.
You're still you.
But then, buddy, how would Gilgamesh come back in like a corp, like a real like form when he's inside you? Like, are you saying that he needs to inhabit somebody else, or his body needs to be brought back, or like what? Like, what's the end game here? Mm. Like, yeah, like change, absolutely. But who's enacting the change on the throne if it's not you in that body?
Gilgamesh can get out. There is a way out. I've held him, touched him, felt him. He can. There's a way to get these guys out. And I think the secret lies with whatever history is in my blood and whatever I am. Erida gave me that hint, at least, and pointed me east. Like, it's all some merry chase. But there are answers.
Do you think your answers are east, or is that just not her prime directive that she's given to you?
The prime directive is very strongly pulling me south. But for my own self, my lack of understanding of where I came from and who I am, my own will is pointing me east.
To
the Golden Forest. Not Golden Forest. Shit. Sorry. No, it's the Fallotian Hills. That's it.
To the Fallotian Hills.
The Fallopian Hills.
Oh my gosh.
Throwback.
Okay, so talking about short-term, long-term, short-term, medium goals here. Number one, we're about to finish off because I can see the Bridger coming now. We've got a high-ranking member of this of society to speak to,
yeah.
Get gold from, because we got you know, we saved his life and we deserve lots of money.
Also, rich powerful people just give away gold for information. That's what.
Yep. Also, definitely. We have got the information of like a site that they need to like arrest at most definitely very soon, because according to that Spectre guy, yeah, he might come back. And then we move on. Like, what's the crack here? Like, what are we doing for the rest of our day, guys?
Let's see what happens at Tywin's. Like,
one thing at a time.
I think he will have ideas on what Beryon is up to, and I'm sure.
Yeah.
We should get them to send people to Sallow 16 as quickly as possible to deal with havoc, yeah, because if that spectre's come back to life, Dane is back in his own body, then, well, they'll be clearing out as soon as possible and there won't be any trace of them.
Yeah, they might already be gone.
They scare me. We know nothing really about them.
No.
It's a whole new player on the board.
Yeah, and they just want carnage and chaos and some weird magical stone.
Yeah.
Okay, just a final thought, Enkidu, because, Guy, you're right, I can see the bridge. are you sure you want to give away that you have a royal connection?
What else am I offering him? I need to give weight and credence to who I am. I mean, we have Cahilda, who has a connection to Kasula, and genuine skin in the game, wanting to help out. But,
I mean,
either way,
maybe see if that's enough before...
Mm.
You keep you as an ace up our sleeve.
We do have a lot to offer without having to give that away, Enkidu.
I don't know.
I'm also trying to impress upon him the need to not leave, at least not straight away, the city, until he can deal with havoc and be safe from Beryon.
I think you can tell him that. Mm. I think he appreciates, especially after today, the gravity of those words.
Yeah, that we're not messing around. All I'm saying is just don't maybe lay all your cards on the table in the first round of the game.
Hmm. Okay.
Oh, look, the quayside.
And yeah, as you're creeping closer and closer to this bridge, you
just be like going in circles.
Trying to hold it back, trying to not be pulled down the river. Yeah, you sort of pull up. There, whilst there isn't necessarily a specific place to moor the boat in this area,
park it.
You just kind of like pull up onto the rocks, get out onto the shore, climb up some sort of stone steps to then the main thoroughfare to bring you level with the bridge.
Enkidu, would you mind just giving me a lift up? thank you.
Gwendolyn does try to tie up the boat at least, yeah, to kind of like...
Yeah.
Yeah, at the bottom of the steps. Yeah, there's a couple of, yeah,
Orange bollards. Thinking about the poor hapless guy at the Hilton who's going to find an unexpected bill pushed under their door.
Patreons, if you'd like to name our boat...
The Abrac... No.
Anything ranging from Boaty McBoatface to...
No!
Abrac and lad.
Absolutely not.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. We hope you enjoyed our second birthday recap episode. It's a great place for new listeners to jump in, and even if you're a regular listener, it's a fun little refresher of the story so far. And if you are a patron, you can find a slightly more chaotic version on our Patreon. Head to www.patreon.com/No Small Roles for more delightful No Small Roles content. And someone who has done just that is Vicky KW. Big love and big rolls to you, our most recent patron. It has been such a joy to see some of you in real life at our theatre shows. So if you too want to see some wonderful shows and meet us in the process, why don't you check out the links in our show notes? You'll also find links to our Patreon, our Discord chat, and places where you can review us. So if you have a spare moment, why not show some love to No Small Roles? We really do appreciate it. That's all from me for now. Let's get you back to the story.
As you reach the main bridge, Juna, obviously you've seen an image of this house that they're at.
Yeah.
But running from the bridge, the road into Plume Bridge, the district, is wide and it is filled with houses that look exactly like the one you saw. These kind of like townhouses of white brick, four stories high, you know, beautiful porchways with columns out the front. That kind of vibe, like lining both sides.
Oh, no. Do they have names on the houses?
They do have names. As you're walking down, each one with a small gate at the front is named with a plaque. So whilst it doesn't take you long to find De Romanet House, it is frustrating that you literally have to walk house to house to read every single name.
I think Juna comes up the rocks like... I know exactly what it's going to look like. It will take no time at all. And she sort of describes it as they're coming up from the bridge. And she, like, they all just look and go, oh, no. Just for flavour.
Yeah.
For flavour, I'll send Aggie off to start looking further down the street at other names as well.
Yeah, nice.
To honk if he finds the right one first.
Yeah, and about halfway down, you do eventually come to a gate with De Romanet House.
Oh, this is it.
On like a brass plaque next to it.
David, just out of interest.
Is everybody ready?
Yeah, just checking. David, is there anybody that we can see like looking at the house, keeping an eye on the house, like, you know what I mean?
On the outside? Actually, no. This entire sort of area feels very affluent.
As in
guards.
Not so much guards, but just like, I'm thinking, has Beryon got, like, eyes on where Tymon is, like, hanging out? Like, if we start to become associated with him, have we got, like, targets on our back? Like, I just, like...
In which case, make an insight
I let them all know this as we're walking up to, like, the house, not necessarily waiting until we're outside the door, so at least that way, you know, if we see anything, we can act nonchalant. Oh, natural 20!
Yeah!
Natural 20! Oh, lush. Yeah. So... Yes, I will say that it's quite an affluent area. The people that are wandering backwards and forwards are very well dressed. They're clearly this is the wealthier end of the city, especially so close to the Vale itself. But you just catch a glimpse of somebody sat on a bench on the opposite side of the street, reading a small book and just not flipping the pages. So they're clearly not reading the book. And I'm just keeping a watch on anyone that's walking past.
Okay. I'll just send a message to Juna, just to be like, Juna, there's a guy across the street, looks shifty, could you maybe call ahead and ask them if there's like a way we can rendezvous without prying eyes?
Mm-hmm. Juna does that. And because presumably we're within 120 feet of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. While she does messages. This, I will tell everyone what Juna's doing in their heads individually.
Nice.
Juna messages in saying, shifty person, reading a book, not turning pages. We're outside.
And you get Kasula's sort of, Kasula's voice comes to you. And he's like, yes, we know about him. Next road along, round the back, come in through the stables.
Roger that.
Let's go.
Follow me.
Oh, if they've got stables, maybe we could leave Lord Crumpet and Pip there.
We've left them on the other side of the city. We rode for like 3 hours.
David, just because I'm being super untrusting now of anyone, can I just, when we go up to the stables, can I just do another check as well?
Absolutely, yeah.
How far is that person from us?
Not that well.
Oh, no.
They were on the other side of the street, so like maybe 15 feet or so.
Gust of wind blows the book out of their hand.
Nice.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, yeah. A strong breeze suddenly knocks it, and so they go scrambling for a moment, just as you like turn a corner. What was your roll, Chris?
Seven.
So, yeah, there's less people around the back anyway, and the people that are... this is clearly an entrance to all of the stables and gardens of the houses rather than sort of the nicer, grander entrances.
Fine.
So the people that you're seeing are much more workers, people tending to the horses and sort of well-dressed servants and things like that.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, it's harder to see.
I think Juna does
they're...
a lot of like, oh, afternoon, I'm among my people.
Mm. Yeah, there's small curtsies and like little sort of head nods and bows and things. But yeah, you make your way around through the stables, where there's quite a sort of a black carriage taking up most of the space, and a few horses in their own stables just opposite it. But as you sort of come back round through the door there, first of all, somebody opens the door and is waiting for you. Sort of bobs a young chap in a sort of a slick suit, bobs ahead, lets you enter, closes the door behind you, and then leads you through to a sitting room.
Mm.
Up a few stairs, through a corridor, passing by a kitchen, up another set of stairs to a small sitting room area, and like sort of just gestures for you to wait before heading off to alert everybody. What you can hear is an argument of some kind happening a floor or two above you. You can clearly hear Timon's voice, who sounds unhappy, which the argument is then interrupted, assumedly by the servant, and then there are footsteps coming down. And the door swings open. Timon marches in, looking at the five of you, puts his hands on his hips, just then looks at Gwendolyn and Juna and goes... You know Kasula?
Yes, and we also know who's behind the attack on you today, and you should probably go sort them out really soon.
Okay.
They are in Red Walk, 16 Sallow... What was it?
Sallow 16. He kind of goes, like, is very surprised at this sort of turnabouts of like, okay... They've got all of the information. I don't even know really who they are.
Well, they're...
but, like, sort of is, like, processing that in you can see all of this on his face. He's just processing all of that. And he nods and he goes, okay, you two. And he points at Gwendolyn and Juna. He says, you can come with me. The rest will bring you a tea or something. And he turns and starts walking off.
Wait.
What?
Sorry, my lord.
Like, he's gone.
Shit. Fuck.
I think if he's gone, Juna is going to go with him.
Oh, my fucking days.
We'll get him to come back. Gwendolyn runs after.
It's good you collect yourself, buddy, because then, you know, you don't want to, like, I don't know, stumble over your words or something like that. Like, at least you know the guy. You've been in his presence, and now you'll have more of a sense of, like, okay, this is the scope of the guy, and what I'm going to say is this, and don't take me for granted. Is there anything that is valuable in the room?
Oh no!
Are you kidding me?
No,
I'm just saying, if there's a goblet or something nearby that looks really nice, I might have my tea out of that. It might just go and miss him.
It's a fairly well-to-do sitting room. The chairs are very, they're all sort of floral patterned. As for actual valuables, there's a bookshelf. There are some nice paintings. This feels very much like a waiting room. So there isn't a huge amount of... There's some candlesticks on the wall.
Guy's just going
to
fiddle.
But they're, like, attached to the wall.
Oh. Yeah, Guy checks those.
Yeah, you give a little wiggle. They're slightly loose, but clearly screwed into the wall.
Yep. And Guy will just look sheepish and quiet for the next 10 minutes.
marching away upstairs, Timon, like, swings back through the door and goes, "They say they know who it was, so there we go. Does that settle your worries?" And there's another chap sort of sat almost with, like, a broadsheet newspaper just folded across his lap. Kind of a human man, probably mid to late 30s, auburn-coloured hair slicked back. He just says, It doesn't settle my worries. I don't think you should keep going out. And he goes... And Timon is just responding like, I don't care. I'm going to speak tomorrow. I'm going to speak the next day. And it doesn't matter how often this happens. I have to talk. That's the only way we're going to get support, Quince.
Quince.
And sort of, yeah.
First name.
Quince looks up.
First name Peter.
Second name Jam.
He looks up at the two of you walking in.
Mr. Prevost, I think you would find it highly useful to talk to my friends if you're thinking about going out every day and you need well-trained... if you're thinking of going out every day and you want some useful people on your side, like me and my friends, as we were able to get the information out of one of your assailants today, and...
And he kind of gestures and goes, see, this is what I'm talking about. The people are willing to help me.
Well... Yes, I think you would definitely benefit from speaking to my friend Enkidu, and we could come to some sort of arrangement.
Great. I mean, I don't know who you are. I don't know if you've trained properly, but...
I don't know who that is. Who are you, Quince, please?
Wow, what a question!
And he kind of laughs. Interestingly, even though he's kind of like sort of the way he's sat, it's definitely a position of power. He looks more dressed down than any of the servants in any way. He's in like a simple shirt, like a little waistcoat on. He looks so comfy, but he's clearly the one in charge in some way.
Mm-hmm.
He just kind of nods his head. He goes, "I'm Lord Quince de Romanet."
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Lord Quince de Romanet.
Welcome to my home. newly Lord of Tillisham. Wonderful to meet you.
Oh, fucking no!
Oh no!
Wow.
Well, he's going to be grateful to us.
Yeah,
we're giving him a lordship.
You, Lord, are welcome. And when you come downstairs and speak to us all, we'll tell you why.
You know that siren that goes like, bwah, bwah, bwah.
Yeah.
Like,
just happening in these two's faces.
Other question, where's Casula, please?
And Timon sort of turns around and looks at you and goes, yes, all right, follow me. She's upstairs. We'll get back to this, Quince. And carries on up the stairs. Again, not really watching to see if you're following, but like storms up there.
Sorry, was he behind the execution of the servant in Tillisham that you
he
mentioned
can't
in your speech?
Be. That
are you talking?
Mental.
Is that to Prevost as you're following?
Yeah.
That's but she's saying it loud
he
enough
kind
for
of turns
him to
around.
Hear.
He says, no, of course not.
That would be mental.
I'm just
no,
double
that
checking.
Was the courts. That was,
I'm just
that was the Lord's Assembly. It was an awful thing. Why would... I wouldn't be sat in a room. I mean, I'd be doing a lot more than just arguing with him, wouldn't I?
Well, yes, but, I just wanted to be sure. The Lord's Assembly, you say, are the ones who...
Yes, they all voted on it. It was ridiculous. To make a demonstration, they said. To make a demonstration of that poor woman.
What was her name?
Oh, I can't remember.
You don't even
Halton?
Remember her name? And yet you're talking about her in your speeches?
She's not the only one to have died, unfortunately. She was just the latest.
Oh.
And sort of kicks open a door.
Would you like to be reminded of her name? So that
and
you can
he walks in and he's like,
Casula,
your friends are here.
The daughter. Holy shit. This guy.
And Casula is sort of sat up in a bed in this room with a religious looking woman sat next to her who was clearly casting some kind of healing magic over Kasula.
A human woman. Religious woman.
A healing one?
A healing woman. Yeah, she's half elf. Cool. She's got a blonde braid. And the you know that she's religious because she's got this big, quite large pendant around her neck of a sun with dragon wings and a curling tail.
Ooh. Is it something that we know is a religious thing?
Yeah. It's quite well known. It means that she's a follower of Phaleos.
Oh, okay.
The dawn dragon. Yeah. Ooh. But yeah, she's casting healing magic, and Taimon is like, Kasula, your friends are here to see you. And they've been doing work, which is fantastic.
Hello,
Gwen.
Kasula.
You've got this.
As soon as you walk into the room, Gwen, Kasula looks at you, and then looks at Taimon, and then shoots you a look, which you have seen many times before, which normally says, are we going to tell your father about this? But you take it to mean, like, how much am I sharing here?
So good to see you again after all this time. Glad to see you're keeping well. Do you remember me? Have you had your head here? I'm Carhilda Thorne.
She sort of frowns a bit. And is like, of course I remember you, Carhilda. I've trained you, haven't I?
Of course, yes, but it's been such a long time and... so glad that I was in the right place at the right time to help you.
Was quite a surprise.
Yes.
Taimon swings open a wardrobe in the corner. Starts going through the clothes.
Carhilda gets closer to Kasula and goes, she whispers, is it safe to talk with him around?
There's a pause. She sort of slyly looks over and she just says, yes, I trust him.
Okay. As we were telling Taimon, we have discovered who was behind the attack today. My colleague was able to take down the person who shot you, and we have an address for their hideout. We know the name of the organization, or at least the ideal that they're fighting for. But if we don't act quickly, they could move out of the hideout before we have a chance to track them down.
Kasula sort of takes a deep sigh, kind of winces a little bit, even at her ribs, sort of like just aching a bit. And then looks you dead in the eye and says, do you think you can handle it?
Ooh, I want to say yes. I'm not 100%. I would be able to do it by myself.
Kind of nods. Tilts her head slightly to look at Juna.
Hello.
Looking around. like.
Hello, Juna.
Hello, Kasula.
It's nice to see you all together, at least.
Yes, that was a happy coincidence. Fate. On the road.
She looks over at Taimon. I don't want to sit in bed anymore. I'm going downstairs. Kicks off the blanket and the priestess next to her is like, no, oi! No, Kasula, I'm trying to work. Please. She's like, you can work on me downstairs. And starts sort of getting up and walking off. And Taimon is like, well, I'm getting changed. takes off his...
Oh my gosh.
I really like the iconography of your necklace.
Oh, thank you. Taimon takes off his jacket, sort of chest binding out for everyone, sort of grabs another one, chucks it back on, buttons it up, and starts following you all downstairs again. Kasula kind of limps a little bit as she does, clearly having to lean on a banister, and makes her way right the way downstairs, settling in a nice chair next to Quince. Quince turns to her and says, apparently they've got more friends downstairs. Should we invite them up? Kasula kind of winces again a little bit, shakes her head, and goes, if they're friends of Carhilda, then they should be safe.
Yes, and
oh,
you
they
have
are.
Them to thank for getting this information. It really was them.
So Quince stands up. Walks down the stairs, the three of you waiting down there. The door swings open again. You see an auburn gentleman walk in. He's like, come on then. Up we go. Turns around, walks back up the stairs.
Ikiru checks to see if Guy's nicked anything.
Guy's just hanging on to a candlestick.
As Quince opened the door, he's like touching the candlestick and his hand snaps down.
he's got one foot against the wall, like trying to pull with all of his might.
It's not going to come off, Guy. It's not going to... Oh, hi.
Whoa!
So as you all eventually gather on the first floor sitting room...
How many sitting rooms has this house got?
Many.
You should be used to these places by now,
Orin. Orin, don't pull at that thread. It's ridiculous the amount of different rooms these people have.
Okay.
There are servants automatically, even without anybody asking, have brought in extra chairs from the dining room for people to sit on around the sofas. But everybody sort of awkwardly settles in to seats around the spot. And then Timon says... So what's the plan of attack then? Also, who are you? Sorry. Start with that. Who are you?
People with a deep-seated investment in keeping you safe from your many enemies.
Good.
There are people who are after your life to cause chaos. And there is also Berrien, who we have evidence is in... very dark, very shady dealings in his bid for the throne, which I'm sure a man of your morals knows that cannot happen.
Oh no, and it's not surprising either, coming from him. What a dick.
Is there any other dirt you'd like to dish on Berrien?
No, I don't know. Nothing that needs to leave this room, but...
Do you have any plans to... help Berrien get his comeuppance, perhaps to be investigated, take him out of the running for the throne?
Oh no, he's got the loosest of claims anyway. Second cousin, 15, I don't know how what it is. It's not even... Sort of time and pauses. And he says, I am the son of the king. But the steward will not test my blood to prove it.
What? Test your blood?
Why?
That's a question for her. This is the only issue that I'm facing, and therefore the only way to force that to happen is to get the people on side.
Agreed. Unfortunately, Berrien is also of the similar mind and is using a less inspired way to get his people on side.
Drugs!
Damn it,
guys. How so?
Well, as my friend just so non-ceremoniously said, drugs. Lord Berrien, as it turns out, is in possession of a powerful psychedelic drug called Frosting. His supply chain is wide-reaching all up and down his country, as we've seen, and he has used it to get many people on his side.
Hmm.
We were witness in Berrien Fields. We saw a whole house full of frosting that he'd stolen from well-known criminal organization, the Hex. Or at least his associates had stolen.
And checked it was definitely frosting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it could be mixed into anything. Liquid, food.
Cakes.
Cupcake.
Cupcakes.
Food. Yeah, yeah. Anything.
Lots of cupcakes.
Whilst I believe you, you all seem very in earnest. Do you have any proof?
No,
do we
don't.
Have the note still?
Oh.
To Adlik Ludda.
The one that had Treya written on it?
Guy, do you still have the note that we found in Berrien Fields?
Oh, yeah. I do. Yeah, all right, here you go. Just give it to him. Wanted to put a price tag on it, but fine.
Sorry, Guy.
One candlestick.
Can you? Anyone remember what that note said?
It might not be as evidency as we might like.
Target is in the knotted strings.
Mm.
Make an example of him. Something like that.
Yeah.
So, what episode
yeah, something
was
along
it?
Those lines,
it's like 17, 18.
I suppose if it's... note was telling you about Adlik Ludda. The note did not mention... Berrien or Frosting.
No.
Bollocks.
To my memory.
No, we didn't.
I feel like we've had some sort of note that mentioned Frosting at some point, haven't we? What was...
Yeah, we
wasn't
had the
it
one
the
that
cipher
we got...
from Malleus?
We've got the clip, yeah. The Silver Wings one. Mm-hmm. What does that say?
And the Silver Wings is Beryon's standard, right?
Yeah, so you've got that one which says, Mal, where is my update? Was expecting news by now. One sample of this jumped up stuff isn't going to be enough. We're running out of time to clip the Silver Wings, Treya.
Yeah.
I mean, can we show him all the notes and kind of explain how they all fit together?
Is this proof?
Is this proof? Is this proof?
And Professor that was saying, well, my lord, you must understand, with a network as clandestine and as secretive and expansive as this, like, concrete proof is very hard to find.
Of course, of course. And I understand that. And honestly, yes, as I said, I believe you. It's incredibly plausible. I know he's not a trusted person when it comes to other people's livelihoods. But the trouble with all of this is that there is no actionable consequence that I can pursue legally without concrete proof. Whether or not that's orders from within his own institutions, whether or not that's somebody who has signed up with him, who still supports him, that can be tested if they are indeed drugged in this way.
There are ways of stopping the effects, potentially, which might...
But that, again, might not be that useful if we're trying to prove that the effects are happening.
No, but when someone's... Not to... Sorry. Say that you're wrong. If someone had been under the effects and then they came back round from being under the effects, I believe they would be aware. Looks over at Carhilda. Carhilda, am I right that you remember what you did under the effects?
And in fact, surely there are many of Beryon's supporters here at the moment. If we could get some supporters who are emphatically cheering on for Beryon, we're able to then disperse the effects and then prove right there and then that they've had this influence put upon them. Would that not be evidence enough?
That might well be.
The problem is we have to prove that he's directly involved with the supply.
Yeah, right.
And if you say, yes, this drug was taken from a criminal group and then given to his followers, well, what's to say that the person that we find isn't just used... Just a drug user. That is the slander that will be turned against them. Oh yes, of course, like this one person in my following happens to be taking drugs. That's not my fault.
What if we can get a crowd?
A whole crowd of people?
Sure, is Beryon not drumming up support in the same way you are in the city? Does he not have crowds like you do?
Not in this city, no. Whilst he's here, he talks to the nobles.
I'm assuming as well, it's like you've got to have his like signature on it. You've got to have his like direct orders and stuff to like pin anything on to him.
Indeed.
You've got to have the smoking
wand. If you can produce that, that would be the smoking wand. If you can find something like that, then of course, but otherwise that might not be something I can put against him.
Well, like, Kahilda, you've told him about the place, right? The one in, is it Red Walk?
Yes, yeah. This is
Fallow 16.
That's those are the bringers of havoc, whoever the bloody call.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, like I don't know if they've got anything to do with the frost thing necessarily, but they have got like, you know, dealings with like, hey, take out this contender for the throne.
It seemed more like they were working under their own ideals, but using Beryon as an excuse, as a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Kasula nods and just says, the children of havoc, not the bringers.
The children of havoc.
Children?
Well, that lines up with what the assassin said.
What is a strategy you've got then to thwart Beryon then? Because, you know, you walk down to merry old throny room, but there's loads of obstacles in your way, my lord. Like, how the heck are you going to... Like what do you need? What's your game plan here, buddy?
It's at this point that Quince kind of leans forward a bit and he says, well, actually, from a legal standpoint, Timon here, not a lord, interestingly enough, doesn't need to worry about Beryon. Beryon's claim is actually incredibly weak. Yes, he has support amongst the nobles, but he has no support from the steward, which is another reason he has yet to take the throne. So,
He is working the nobility for all of the support to try to threaten the steward to give the throne to him. And sure, that may be a route, but it is a one filled with conflict. Whereas, well, the path we have chosen to take is to unite the people in a new ideal, a new direction for the country, and that is much harder to turn down.
And do you believe in that, or is that your device?
Oh, no, of course. Look at me. Lord of Tillisham. And, of course, I've been there. I have met them. But the council run Tillisham now.
They do?
Well, yes.
Who's on the council?
This is what we're working for, a people's parliament. And if I can demonstrate what that looks like in Tillisham, then there's no reason other villages, other towns might adopt a similar tactic.
Insight check.
Go for it.
Please tell me that Jenny is actually genuinely mayor of...
Is Jenny on the High Council of...
23.
Oh my gosh.
23. Insight. He is incredibly earnest.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's nice.
Is there a human woman called Jenny involved in the council by any chance?
He smiles and goes, the cobbler.
Yes!
Oh, yeah. For fuck's sake.
I've had the pleasure.
Now, how is she doing?
Wonderfully, I'm sure.
Is she part of how Tillisham is being run now? Just
I don't think she would have it any other way. but yes, with extra seats established on the council, she has taken one of them.
Oh, that's lovely to know.
Yeah.
There isn't a pub landlord on there as well, is there?
Oh, Iris?
I believe so. The whole thing is currently run by an older woman called Drania, who seems very kind. And of course, the local reverend as well has a seat. But beautiful. This is the thing. I have no need to run that town. Whilst obviously, yes, I wish them well. I don't live there. They do. It is for them to decide what their town does and the direction that it takes. And if this catches on, as I was saying, and spreads across the country, as we hope it will, this is the only way to develop support for the true king. The only way to convince the steward to allow him to be tested.
With enough pressure from the people.
Exactly.
I understand.
A democratically appointed king is an ideal, a wonderful ideal and dream and goal to achieve. And peaceful. At the same time, Beren is still a threat to that peace and has to be dealt with at some point in some way. So,
indeed,
along this path to the throne room, we need to find evidence to be brought to the light so Beren can be brought to justice, so peace can be had.
Kasula sort of looks up. They shouted for Beren before they attacked.
The Children of Haddock?
We believe that was a lie.
Now, I did not think that they were working for him. Is that something you've learnt?
We've learnt they're not working for him. They're happy to use his name for the sake of creating havoc.
I think equally they'd use your name.
Mm.
Yeah.
So they are a threat to us,
yes.
Both in attack and
to your reputation,
the people against us.
Yes.
Yeah, they're an immediate threat. So whilst getting to the throne, dealing with Beren is long-term goals, the immediate threat are the Children of Havoc, and we need to deal with them now.
And Timon goes, I couldn't agree more, yes. So the five of you will deal with them and report back when that's sorted, yes?
I'm happy to pledge my services for this, but just the five of us aren't. No other fighters you have at your call?
I mean, certainly, but we can't just storm the streets, can we? I could, there are a number of other people we could contact if you'd prefer to bolster your numbers. We could talk to the stags, if you like. Give you some official guard to join you in the raid.
Can you vouch for their loyalty, sir?
Well, no, but they are the city guard, and, there was a small terrorist attack that just occurred, so...
Hmm.
Do we call ourselves the Fate Marked Five to this guy, guys?
Yeah.
Sir, we are the Fate Marked Five. and we are professional adventurers. Now, I can only speak for, you know, previous experience, but we have a sterling reputation across the realm in infiltration and retrieval of precious artifacts and deeds. Now, if you wish to hire our services, this comes at a heavy cost, for our esteem and our talents are beyond repute. So what's your price, buddy?
Can you make a persuasion check,
please? Come on. I start high, you start low. This is how it works.
Gwendolyn is looking extremely awkward and kind of hanging her head and not getting eye contact with Kasula because she's like, oh, shit.
That is persuasion 15.
15. There's a stunned silence from everybody in front of you. And then they just fully laugh at you.
But then
Simon's like, 200 gold each? Is that fair?
I think we all just look at Guy, right?
Yeah. So Guy is sort of our agent.
And Keely will say, well, I don't want my share. I can divide it with the others. I've got blood at stake in this.
So that's 1,000 gold then. Cool. Let's put our hands together and set a deal then.
Sounds like a deal.
Sure. Okay.
Yes. Quince, we can afford that, can't we? And Quince sort of slowly nods. And then Timon steps forward and offers out a hand to you, Gaius.
Cool. Guy shakes it and goes, I want it in writing right now.
And that's where we're in the episode.
Yes!
I really want him to like draw up the contract on the back of the piece of paper that the Spectre was writing on.
Oh my gosh.
It's
Eldritch horror.
Yeah.
You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master, Ben Galpin as Orin, Chris Watts as Gaius, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Grace Kelly Miller as Gwendolyn, and Vicky Gaskin as Juna. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.